We can always hold out hope that there will be, on some miraculous day, a lasting peace accord for the Middle East. In fact, it is very easy to wonder why this has not happened. Surely people of goodwill can figure this thing out. However, even the slightest bit of research will strongly suggest that this is an extremely naive idea. I can say that I was somewhat naive in that way until visiting the Holy Land as a pilgrim a few years ago. What very quickly becomes apparent there is that it is the height of arrogance to think that any meddling from Western nations will solve the problem, as if we were fixing a glitch in a computer program. Although, as I think about that, maybe it's a good analogy, since many of those computer program fixes seem to lead to more glitches. But it was also a complicated and hopeless time when Zechariah made a most remarkable prophecy. As the true prophets always do, he spoke the word of the Lord into a situation that seemed hopeless. This particular word came to a broken people. After the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down and the temple of God's presence destroyed, after a large portion of the people had been in exile in Babylon for decades, at a time when a disheartened few were left to a meager and fragile existence. But the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying that not only would the Jews return and Jerusalem be built up again, but the people would come from every nation to seek the Lord of hosts. In our own time, Israel, and especially Jerusalem, has become a universal pilgrimage destination, a hub for the nations to worship the God of Israel. And this happened after another unfathomable tribulation, the Holocaust, and the murder of millions of Jews before and during the Second World War. And then the nation of Israel was reestablished, and now the nations of the world stream there in great numbers. No one could ever have foreseen this except the prophets of God. Zechariah says that he uses the image that 10 people will want to attach themselves to every Jew. Now, this kind of number, this 10-to-1 ratio, is not intended to be a mathematical ratio. What it means is that multitudes will begin to know the Jews as the people of the covenant with the one true God. They will stream there just to walk in the footsteps of the people who gave birth to the long-awaited Messiah. That Messiah, God's anointed one, who became the fulfillment of the third promise to Abraham. The first, just as a very brief reminder, the first was that Abraham's descendants would become a great nation. The second was that they would have a land to inherit. And the third was that this nation would be a blessing to the entire world. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. One writer wrote, "How odd of God to choose the Jews." And the Jews themselves, recognizing that they are God's chosen people, have often said, "I wish that God had chosen someone else." But they were chosen to be the people of the covenant, the people of the promise, the elder brothers and sisters in the faith of all those who call themselves Christians. Like the Samaritans in today's gospel passage, we Christians have often paid no attention to the heritage from which our Savior comes. We have a terrible history of persecution and rejection and just plain ignoring that people. We lose sight of the absolute fact that God does not insert random events into history. What we call salvation history is God's great plan from the beginning to bless us and to restore us to intimacy with Him through His chosen people and their Messiah. In this context, Jerusalem is dripping with theological meaning and purpose. It is the focus and direction for Jesus' whole earthly ministry. Jerusalem is the city of destiny for Jesus. Luke tells us that when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face for Jerusalem. Interestingly, the Greek for being taken up means ascension. Interestingly, it also means death. I don't know how one word can mean those two things, but it does. Jesus is on his way to his death, but also to his ascension after the resurrection. That's the destiny towards which he sets his face. Nothing will deter Jesus from his destiny. As you can imagine, as it often happens, James and John don't really get that yet as this event from today's gospel unfolds. They want to call fire down on a certain Samaritan town as if they were Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. So they have a kind of a misplaced jealousy for Jesus. Interestingly, we just heard on Sunday in Mark's gospel that the disciples were jealous that someone not in their group was casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Our Lord told them, "Don't worry about that, it's okay, they are doing a good thing." In Luke, Jesus' reaction to their jealousy on his behalf is not only that it is misplaced, but he rebukes them. What is interesting about the Samaritans in the context of today's gospel is that they are a symbol of the nations. When Assyria had conquered the 10 tribes of northern Israel, they dispersed them everywhere, mixing them with all the other nations that were part of the Assyrian Empire. Those Israelites of the 10 northern tribes entirely lost their Jewish identity because of this. But instead, they gained a new identity as a sign of the nations. The Good Samaritan, for example, is the image of God's mercy and care for the wounded, the Good Samaritan being part of Jesus' parable. The Samaritan woman at the well is the image of sinners who return to God. We are that Samaritan woman. We are called to be that Good Samaritan. Here is a key point from today's scripture readings. Walking with Jesus, clinging to his robes, is our destiny also. There is no other way for us. It is the destiny of everyone who will cling to him, who will hold on to his robes. We celebrate St. Lawrence Ruiz. He clung to Jesus, the robes of Jesus, through to martyrdom. Now, not all of us will be called to that kind of walking with Jesus, but we are reminded again in today's scripture passages that God's promises always come true, even those which seem the most outlandish. We can have confidence in God's word, who wants to make us into saints. Whether it is ever possible to go to Jerusalem in our lifetime again, we can still make that spiritual pilgrimage in our hearts. So today, brothers and sisters, let us cling to his robes. Lord, all our hope is in you. Let us go up with you to Jerusalem, to the house of the Lord. Amen.